I'm an intellectual. I'm an intellectual. I'm an intellectual. Yo, what's going on, people? It's your boy Kim, and welcome back to another episode of the Flying Intellectual Podcast. On today's episode, we have Danielle Joseph with us from the island of St. Croix. She's an educator, a creative, an entrepreneur with her own clothing line, Raw Society. I'm super, super excited to have Danielle on the show, talking about her mental health journey and the way that she finds the balance between mental health and entrepreneurship. I hope you all enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Peace. Danielle, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. I'm good. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for tuning in and logging in and being a part. And I know all this COVID stuff is going on, so thank you for taking the time out.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited, you know, to be a part of this. What you're doing is definitely a beautiful thing. I've actually tuned into some of your episodes in the past, and I just want to say, you know, thank you for informing us on different issues and whatnot. I'm, you know, very proud of what you're doing.
Oh, that's very sweet of you, man. I appreciate that. You know, the platform is just about helping each other. You know, life is tough enough, you know, being born and not really asking to be here, and you know, we don't have any roadmaps or, you know, anything to really kind of help each other. So, you know, the least we can do is kind of like give a little bit of knowledge that we have attained through, you know, whether it's hitting our head, you know, which it usually happens that way, you know, learning the hard way, and trying to make it easier for the next generation as much as possible. So I appreciate you being a brave soul and hopping on here. I've always been inspired by you. You're super driven. Of course, you know, your cousin Cleo has put me on to you, but I knew about you probably around the same time me and Cleo was started dating. So and of course I know, you know, some of your family yourself grew up with them. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing coming from the island of St. Croix, which is a small community. You know, even if we didn't know each other personally and we have our little age gap or whatever, we still kind of come full circle. So that's a blessing, man. How have you been coping with the COVID stuff?
Usually I'm a loner, so yeah, I'm a homebody as well. The most I do is just stay home, work, try to keep myself active. So it's not really as affecting me as much as everyone else.
But, yeah.
And, you know, not having that option to take myself out to dinner or go watch a movie is kind of, you know, saddening at times. But, you know, I'm hanging in there, just trying to remain positive and hopeful for the future. You know, I'm a little distraught about what's happening right now with these, you know, senseless killings and the police brutality that's
taking. Talk about it. Talk, man. It's
kind of triggering for me right now. So I'm.
Facts.
To, you know, pray and just, you know, hope for the best, you know, but it's very detrimental and traumatic, you know, to be witnessing this, you know, at home. And there's not really much that I could do about it. Like, yes, you know, we have a voice on our different social media platforms, but, you know, very, you know, irate and angry inside, because it's just like, wow, it's very unjust, you know, for our people to have to be experiencing this, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, and it's like the fight for me is it really, you know, the blessing is obviously that we get to film it. So, you know, and when I say blessing, I'm not saying that's a good thing in terms, but I'm just saying that we do have our ability now to film it and be able to kind of try our best to hold these people accountable. But on the flip side of it, it is triggering,
right?
You know, having to see something like that circulate in the internet and gain a bunch of clicks, and you know, it almost feels like, you know, it almost feels like we helping push their own agenda, you know, seeing a black man be berated and killed down in the streets like that. But, you know, it's, we have to kind of try and just, we have to be people of action, right? And I think you know, I think I saw live today where somebody was saying, basically, we all have our roles. Find your role and go as hard as you can with that role. So, you know, you might not be the warrior who going to be in the street and, you know, out at the front lines. And that's okay. But, you know, you can be a warrior. We all have a phone. you can spread the word. You can make sure that, you know, these people's names are not forgotten about. We can make sure that we are being intentional about who we spending our money with. And that's something we'll get into later, you know, as well with you having your own brand and stuff like that. But, you know, we got to buy black. You know what I'm saying? These people ain't going to respect us until we hurt the only thing they care about, which is that dollar.
They only care about the dollar. And it's, you know, for generations, we've known that the system was not made for us. You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we have to be more conscious and more aware of the things that we invest our time and energy into. And especially, right, you know, funds, because they're using that as a means to control us as a people, you know, and society. And I think we need to pay attention to what's really going on, you know, the bigger picture, or even the hidden agenda, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's really heartbreaking and discerning to witness at this time, especially like 2020. Imagine 400 plus years later and we still experience the same things. Like, the generational curse has not been broken, and it's very heartbreaking for me, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's get into your story a little bit. Obviously we're from the same place, St. Croix, but that doesn't always mean that we, you know, we walk the same paths or, you know, we even like live the same life. So talk to us about growing up in the Virgin Islands, the island of St. Croix, you know, your upbringing, your education. Give us Danielle Joseph's backstory.
So my backstory, it's kind of intricate. Of course, you know, I born and raised in the Virgin Islands. I grew up in a two-parent home. From since I was a little girl, I was always one to be in the limelight. Despite, like, you know, my father kind of being like a public figure in the community, you know, him being a cop and his different ventures with, you know, running for Senate and things like that. I kind of dabbled in a lot of everything. I was a little girl. I vied for Miss Junior Calypsonian. I used to sing Calypso a lot with my Uncle Derby.
Oh, wow. I actually did not know that. Oh, that's dope. Okay.
So I grew up singing and playing a banjo. When I was in elementary school, I played about six different instruments. I played the clarinet, the banjo, the guitar, the piano, the drums. I went to Grove School, Rivera. Nice. So our music teacher, he was very fond of us, you know, ensuring that we learn music. Also, my grandmother, she plays the organ and the piano. So my family is kind of like, you know, musically gifted, so to speak. And as I got older, you know, I was kind of I was kind of an introvert. I was more to myself. Like, yeah, a lot of people knew me, but I was just, you know, the nod. Books, you know. And when I went to junior high, I went to John H. Woodson. That's where, like, my transformation, so to speak, came into existence. I vied for Miss John H. Woodson, and my self-esteem, you know, went through the roof, even though despite people's perceptions about pageantry and stuff, it did really, you know, it was a very monumental moment in my life.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And thanks. And that's and not to cut you off, but that's an interesting angle, because of course we do kind of hear that negative stereotype about pageants and about how they kind of break down young girls and not, or make them not, or make them care about the wrong things. But on the flip side, you're actually saying that in some ways it actually helped your self-esteem and actually helped your confidence.
Yeah, actually in a lot of ways, because when I vied for Miss John H. Wilson, I didn't really care about winning, to be honest. Like, my coach, Anif James and Chantel Cogman, they could tell you, I didn't care about winning. I really just wanted to perform, put on a good show. And the only thing I wanted to win was Miss Intellect. That's all I cared about. And come to find out, I actually clean up in all categories.
Clean sweep.
Yeah, clean slate. And from there, that's when I saw, like, you know, my self-esteem, you know, went on another level. When I went to high school, you know, I was in a band, I was a majorette, a dancer, I hosted Graffiti Street, which was, I think they actually just started back up recently.
Yeah, I think I saw that. And for those who are listening who don't know exactly what Graffiti Street is, it was a youth TV show that kind of like really touched on, like, you know, topics that the youth were going through. It was really actually a very, very dope platform. And I'm glad that they're bringing that back, because that's important.
Yeah, so I was a host of that. I also vied for another pageant, Miss Virgin Islands High School America, and I got first runner-up. that was big for me as well. And then from since then, I, you know, in my senior year of high school, I didn't win class president, but I was basically the class president because I planned everything. I planned.
Oh, wow.
Even down to doing the cover of the yearbook, that was all me as well. There's a lot of things that I accomplished in high school. And it's crazy because originally I was going to go to Howard and study psychology, but I went to North Carolina A&T State University as instead. My best friend at the time, she was going to go to Bennett. So I was like, nah, I can't do an all-girls school. It's that's too much estrogen for me. It's not going to work.
real.
A&T, and, you know, that's where I obtained my bachelor's of science degree in psychology. And now I'm still there currently pursuing my master's of education in elementary education. So to really go back to the question in itself, my experience growing up in Virgin Islands has really molded me as a person in terms of me being a chameleon. I'm able to, like, you know, adapt to different people, personality, surroundings. Yep. And although at first, like when I was younger, I used to hate, like, you know, being a cop's daughter, my dad running for Senate. I even used to drive my dad's truck that had his big Senate plastic, like his picture was back in the back of the truck, and I had to drive around to school. And it's like,
I actually remember your dad pickup truck. So this is actually very funny.
You know, everybody used to pick on me and make jokes and stuff, but I was like, guess what? I have a ride though, like, you know.
Yeah. Do you have a ride though? Facts.
For me, at first, I used to be ashamed, and like, even though, like, not, even this year in itself, I used to think that my parents, like, you know, they expected a lot from me. You know, I'm one of four for my parents, and out of all of my siblings, they expected the most from me. There was a lot of pressure that I endured, like, you know, growing up. You know, because everybody expected me to be very successful, and I was doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of struggled with identity issues in a sense, in terms of, like, I had, like, certain aspects of my family that really, quote unquote, hood, and my mom, like, she really classy and poised. So I kind of struggled in terms of, like, who I am, you know?
And like your classy bougie ratchet as savage.
But,
yeah.
But like my parents, what my dad more specifically, he would always say, like, with great success comes great responsibility. And absolutely. I just had to make a choice. I had to pick a side, you know, like there's a lot of people that look up to me more than I even thought. Especially after I broadcasted my story when I graduated from A&T for my undergraduate. And I got like over 3,000 shares and likes and stuff like that. And I didn't know, like, that much people, you know, looked up to me and seek certain advice and things like of that sort from me. So, you know, it's all a beautiful experience in itself, like how everything came into full circle about, like, who, where I am right now and where I stand in my life, you know? So it definitely plays an essential role in, you know, contributing to the person that I am today.
Beautiful. Absolutely. And I want to go back to something you said, because you don't even know, like, how that resonated. The fact that you were saying there was a lot of pressure on you, now that you look back, you know, to be successful, because you were that child out of the four of you. And it's, you know, I get it, because I was that kid for my family. Like, you know, growing up, I was very heavy in music, classically trained, was in competitions and always in front. And like, my dad was just had this pride, you know, it was just this, you know, hey, let me show you what he could do, kind of thing. And it was, you know, my mom always expecting me to get certain grades. And, you know, it I didn't recognize till later on in life, as I was going through my own personal mental health journey, that took a toll. Because, you know, you're telling a child, you know, this is my expectation of you, which we should all have expectations, but it's how you do it. And it seems that you know, our love language in the VI or Caribbean parents, we, you know, the talking aspect, we can get better at that. You know, we can get better at how we relay things. We can get better at how we encourage, because we're kind of like a cut and dry, kind of like say it how we feel.
Empathy, consideration, just.
yeah. It's like, and once again, we desensitized to it because that's all we know. You know, so you growing up is like, you know, okay, it's just my parents hard on me, or this is what it has to be. And then later on in your life, you recognize, okay, you could have probably said that a little different, or you could have probably, you know, shown me this in a different way. But we love our parents, and we know that, hey, man, they did the best they could. And it's just our job to be able to take the good from what they did and the stuff that we feel that could have been done differently. When we have our own children, or however we affect the community, we know, you know, how to go about that moving forward. So, you know, it's just about, that's life. Life is about taking the good and the bad, and, you know, and seeing what to do and what not to do. Yeah, so I definitely feel you on that. So you go to NC State, A&T, I'm sorry, make sure, North Carolina, A&T State, which is also, that's an HBCU as well? Okay, beautiful, beautiful. And then you graduate, and you graduate with your Bachelor of Science in Psych. Then you go and you do your Master's of Education in Elementary Education. When did you know that education was where your heart was?
Originally, the plan upon graduating, I wanted to pursue my Master's in Counseling, mental health counseling.
Okay.
However, I found that, you know, I do have my perception of different aspects of the mental health system that I'm not really sure that I would want to promote or be a part of. Like, you know, they say stand for something or fall for anything. And
real.
Especially, like, of course, we're going to get into it, but even spending my time in mental health facilities, I kind of became a little bit more woke or aware of what is it really going on in the mental health.
From the inside out.
I wanted to find or choose a career path that aligns my purpose and all of the things that I'm passionate about. I'm very passionate about, you know, inspiring other people and teaching and whatnot. So that's why I kind of chose this career path, because, like, you know, of course you can talk to adults. You can try your best to influence them, show them the light, spread the light. But I think it's kind of harder to do. So that's why I kind of chose to, like, you know, teach children, because I feel like the problem and the root of the problem is really with the children. You know, I feel like if I can target that audience and be able to just shed light on my testimony or share my testimony with them, then I will be able to make a commendable change, you know, and just be able to plant those seeds within those individuals. So, you know, hopefully change their lives for the better.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is like, intent is everything. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us, or a lot of people in general, they go into things and, you know, it might just kind of be money driven. And people don't recognize how much money controls us. But I do believe, like, when you're pure in intent and you have this conviction of just wanting to help, wanting to be of service, I don't care if you, you know, making clothes, or if you're, you know, you're a garbage man on the street, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, what the world needs is pure intent. And what the world needs is us to really be able to be open and share our testimonies, because we all have a story. And that's the whole thing about this month, really. I mean, the entrepreneurship and mental health series is about, look, we all have a story and we all are on this journey. Some people are less vocal than others, but for those who want to be vocal, you know, I want to make sure that you have a platform. So let's start. So now you're teaching, you're in education, and tell me, when, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to that mental health stuff. Let's take it apart. When were you first starting to be made aware and becoming in tune with your own mental health?
So I'll have to take it back all the way to college. In my junior year of college, I had a series of mental breakdowns. These mental breakdowns were caused by, you know, traumatic experiences that came to surface from my childhood. My father almost passed away that year. My relationship began to get toxic at the time. You know, there were a lot of different factors that contributed to me, you know, having those mental breakdowns. And since then, I've been in and out of mental health facilities. I also realized, like, during that time, the people that I, you know, thought that I had very sacred bonds or relationships with that would, you know, be able to support me in the way that I needed, because I've always, you know, been that type of supportive friend, they were not able to reciprocate the support that I needed, or, you know, just the time or even the energy in itself to say, hey, Daniel, how you doing? I'll pick up the phone and give you a call or whatnot. So Through that phase, I realized so much about myself. I realized that I was very invested in a lot of things and a lot of people. I was, you know, running 50 miles per hour and just doing everything. You know, I wasn't really slowing down and taking the time out to not only understand that the things and the people that I was investing with was draining me, but I was also pouring from an empty cup. Through that phase as well, I started to realize that, you know, it was important for me to take ownership and accountability for the things that I did in order to contribute to my mental breakdowns, you understand? Even like condoning or indulging in certain things that I had no business with, you know, all a learning experience. Yeah. And even during the time, you know, a lot of people will say that they're advocates of mental health, but they're really not. I remember during that phase, I experienced like a lot of backlash, a lot of negativity, you know, a lot of people were shocked, they were ashamed, they cut me off, you know, things of that sort. Especially when even I had incidents where, or episodes where I didn't even remember, you understand? You know, I went live, I said a lot of things, and people were not too, they were not too empathetic towards what I was going through. So kind of ironic to me now that, you know, a lot of people have, to me, it seems overnight that they have become mental health advocates. So I wonder if it's more because it's like a thing now.
Like it's, yeah, like yeah, it's pop culture, right?
About this, this and that, or I have depression, I have anxiety, this and that. And not really, you know, being genuine about it. So that's why I was kind of, I kind of like shy away from, you know, speaking on it, so to speak, because there were even things that I experienced during my mental health breakdowns that I don't have answers to up to this day. You understand? I'm a very smart individual. I've come across like a lot of powerful people. Even had one summer I spent my time at Peachford Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. That's where a lot of celebrities go to. Kanye West, Whitney Houston has been there. Like a lot of people have spent time at that hospital. And when I ran into individuals like myself, more so specifically girls within my age group, they expressed like, you know, similar things to me. So it's just like, you know, about targeted individuals and Project MK. All, like, it's a lot. It was a lot, you know. So I was exposed to a lot of information. And even touching on a spiritual perspective, there were a lot of things that were going on with me spiritually as well that I wasn't aware of, because I grew up in the Moravian church. I am a Christian. I believe in God. But my parents were not too prone to discuss things like, yeah, the devil exists, but you don't know like how powerful he can be if you're not fully equipped with God. You understand? Not guarded.
And totally in tune and really really in tune with him, because it's a relationship
with God. If you're not grounded in God and really, you know, trying to protect yourself spiritually, or even like the people that you interact with, you understand, very easy for you to fall short and succumb or submit yourself to certain things and certain energy, you know. So it was a lot for me, and since then I just, you know, in addition to taking accountability and just like really trying to get to the root of my problems, I just realized that I have to choose me. In the end, I have to choose me, and I have to do what's best for my mental health, for my peace of mind, because I have to choose peace at all costs. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And we're all responsible for our own journey. And that's the thing. We have to, there's nobody else that's responsible for that. You know what I'm saying? And we all, as I've said this previously on the podcast, me, I've always been known as a person who is always there. Like, that's just me. That's just who I am. Partially, I'm a Taurus. So, you know, I guess we like to feel needed or something, but you know, but yeah, it's like, it, you know, after a while you recognize, look, you're stretching yourself so thin, and you're leaving yourself so far behind that by the time you're ready, you know, to really deal with yourself, you really are having a breakdown. And by the time you recognize that there's nobody around, like the same people who would blow up your phone, you can't find them. They're too busy for you, but you would shut everything down just for them. And I have to kind of figure out, and I'm still working on it. It's not perfect yet, but I have to, you have to put yourself first, and you have to really be responsible for you. That's and the fact that you were actually in the mental health system and you recognize from the inside out, you know, the flaws, so to speak. Let's talk about maybe one or two flaws that you, maybe some misconceptions that you had or going in that you didn't know about. Let's talk about that a little bit. Well, I will just say,
of course, disclaimer, this is my personal opinion. It's my
absolutely
fair enough. Of being in and out of the mental health facilities. One thing I can say, a lot of the doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, they don't take the time out to actually acknowledge spirituality. They don't understand that that's a very key component in a lot of the mental health issues that are currently existing. Like, for example, with schizophrenia. At the time that I was in a group, you know, counseling session, and it had one boy, and he was talking about how he would see or talk to his dead aunt sometimes, you know, or how he would connect with her, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. And to them, that's automatically schizophrenic. Your aunt is not there because I can't see her and I'm in my quote unquote right mind. You're telling me something else.
Right.
That doesn't resonate with you. So, of course, you know, go to the DSM and automatically try to label that child as someone that has schizophrenia. So I would constantly like raise that issue when I was in therapy, because there's a lot of doctors in itself, like they're atheists, and no offense to anyone that is, you know, that's your preference. But at the same time, I don't think you can understand the caliber of different experiences that people are having if you don't really understand like what spirituality is, or even people's personal relationships with God. And especially, you know, us coming from the Caribbean, you know, there's a lot of things that we probably practice or we have indulged in or we're exposed to that may be foreign to them. I also observed that they would not take the time out to actually listen to what's going on with you. It's really about, you would go in there, you get like a 5-minute session every time with a doctor, and they just throw some medication on you. And when I would talk to, you know, different patients on a personal level, a lot of them don't even really have problems. Like, a lot of people are quick to say, oh, I have depression. I have depression. I don't think you have depression. I think you have a depressive state. You understand? There's a lot. There's a difference between you having a depressive state and you, you know, indebtedly having depression. Like, depression. I think a lot of people, they're not able to differentiate between the two. When you're clinically diagnosed with depression, you're not eating, you're not, that's a long, you know, drawn out period of time, versus there are different factors in your life that are contributing to you having a depressive state, whether it's finances, relationships, you know, different things of that sort. And a lot of them would come in there and just get the drugs, and then they're going out on the street and selling them. You understand? That's how you know there is a big problem within the mental health system, because it's like, are you really paying attention to what's the problem? Like, are you really invested in finding a solution and helping these people, or is it really just a money-making thing? And I found time after time again, until I went to Peachford and I actually got the help that I needed, when they took me all the way back to childhood and the things that were really causing my mental breakdowns. Of course, you know, they tried to diagnose me as bipolar. I don't claim that in the name of God, but they wouldn't understand that. You know, they just like different check boxes in the DSM, and they automatically try to put that label on you. And I don't really stand for that. So that's why, you know, going back to why I'm a teacher versus being a psychologist, I don't know if I would be able to follow the protocol that's expected of me based on man-made, you know, illnesses that they came up with, you know?
Right. And at the same time, the mental health system is directly connected to the pharmaceutical companies. So we already know that that man just trying to sell drugs. Yep. You know what I'm saying? That man just trying to pump drugs into you. They're, you know, and once again, you found, as you said, Peachford, you got the best help there. And we're grateful for that. But at the end of the day, pharmaceuticals are, that's what they're there for. So they're quick to just diagnose you and get you these drugs. And I, another good point that you made, that's spirituality, you know what I'm saying? And I get it. Maybe this platform, maybe this is too deep for this platform, but we're going to still talk about this because this is our right. Facts. The whole point is spiritual wickedness in high places. This is this, and we're fighting. You know, this is everything is a it's a battle, right? The devil trying to gain you know however many people he can before the world, you know, before God come back for his world. And we have to understand that, yeah, you know, even with dude saying he's talking to his dead aunt, and I have to check myself about this stuff too, because like, you know, you can't be closed-minded. And I can understand if you do not want to communicate about certain things because you're afraid or you don't have an understanding. But I feel like people should not close their ears to learning and listening. So for him to say, hey man, I'm seeing my aunt, even if she's gone, you know what I'm saying? And then man just saying, that's not really how that works. That is crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it's bigger than just me, you, like spirits run the earth. You know, once again, I don't know if this is the proper time, but look, we know. Know. If you know, you know, as the kids say. Yeah, right? So like just it's very hard to deal with that. But my question from this is, at that point, what do you recommend? Because now is it just the whole thought process of the secular side versus spiritual side, or do you now have to like try and find like the better help, or do you really have to do your research to make sure that the people who are trying to render the aid to you for your mental health, that they line up a little more closer to what you believe? How do you feel about that?
I would say that I know it may sound harsh, but it's really a journey or a path that you have to walk on your own. Not everyone is able to do it. You know, some people, they become suicidal and things of that sort, where you of course, you're going to need that additional support, whether it's family or friends, a loved one. But for me, I had to be conscious, and I had to dive deep within my emotions and my traumatic experiences. I had to pay attention to the guys that I was even sexually involved with, because a lot of people don't know, but you could have soul ties with people, you know, to take on, you know, their spiritual battles and their warfare. I had to
pay attention struggles. To
when I would, you know, indulge in smoking marijuana. Like, there's PRAY and PREY. Pray. People pray on your weed. You know what I mean? Like, there were certain things that, and now because I'm not too sure, or I don't really trust people, and I'm very, you know, spiritually aware, especially of myself, I kind of, like, you know, don't indulge in certain things anymore, you know? So I had to really sit down and, you know, take the time out to see what's the root of my problems. I had to do my research. I'm not disputing the DSM altogether. I'm not disputing or discouraging anyone from taking a medication or, you know, seeking therapy and whatnot. But for me, it was a journey that I had to walk on my own. I had to, because only I know myself. There's no one that knows me better than me. So despite what the naysayers may say about, you know, oh, she bipolar, she crazy, she this, she that, I wanted to find out for me what's going on, you know? So throughout my journey, yes, I did have therapy at one point. She was a very good therapist, but at some point I had to cut it off because I felt like it was kind of more of a, you just charging my insurance to keep this going. You know, I already spoke to you about my deepest, darkest secrets and my problems and this and that. So it's like, at some point it's like, I have to do the work on my own. I have to actively do the work on my own. I can't rely on my parents, my significant other, my friends, in order to help me figure out what's going on with me. And all in all, I had to repair my relationship with God. I had to. And I know, like, for those of you that are listening, you're not, you know, too spiritual, or even if you don't believe in God, that's just my sense, you know, like, I've been in a car accident before. The car flipped 4 times and I don't know how I survived that. You understand? So just like incidents like that. And, you know, also resonates, and what my grandmother told me when I was younger. She said, Danielle, you're not going to know God until you go through life. And me, you know, going towards 25 years of age, I could honestly say, like, that's the truth. I know God because I had to go through life. I had to walk the walk. And a lot of people, they, you know, you could still do your research. You could do all of that. But are you actually being dedicated to your journey and, you know, your mental health, you know? So that's really what I had to do, you know?
That's real. This is real. This is real. Let's get to your creative side. You have the brand Raw. That was not your first brand, you told me. Let's talk about the process
So
of getting
yes,
to
Raw
Raw.
was not my first brand. Like I told you, I had a brand called So 20. It was a partnership, a collaboration with one of my best friends from high school. And I found, like, as we got older, we started to grow apart too. I don't think that she understood, like, the seriousness of what it took to, start a business and, to generate funds and stuff like that. And I became drained because I was very invested in it. I am very dedicated. I'm very ambitious. So I just, decided one day, you know what, I'm going to just cut that off. I really don't want no ties with it, especially if this do plan to blow up one day. I don't need nobody in my ear trying to sue me. Because she came game. And in
Facts.
addition to
Right.
that, I would put together like a lot of, I was actually one of the first brands to put Virgin Island slangs on apparel. Slangs like Tech Kiad
Oh,
and
wow.
Wosang, different that sort. And like I told you, even though I love my culture, I kind of wanted to stray away from that because I don't want to be labeled as a local.
That box. Yeah, that local
Where I'm
box.
only
Yeah, you're
getting a
trapped
certain
in that
amount of
there.
clientele, I'm only generating a certain amount of profit because I have this one audience, So, in addition to that, with my mental health journey, I was like, you know what? I just want to be Danielle. I don't want to be what my dad thinks I should be, what the people back home think I should be, or what their perception is of me. I want to be myself. And
How freeing is that? Just
it was
by
very
for you to
freeing.
even get
I
there.
felt like I haven't been free for 25 years. You know what I mean? It took that long. And I came up with the acronym RAW, Real Authentic World Class. And I don't know if anybody catches it, but it's society and it's not spelt the traditional way. It has TEE at the end because, I started off with T-shirts, Really and truly,
T-shirts.
our society just represents a class of
Genius.
individuals that, they own their truth, they're unapologetic, and they're just very authentic in every way and everything that they do. Really and truly, a lot of people may be surprised by this, but I'm not really concerned about making money. For me, it's about the movement. Of course, you want to generate funds because you have to keep your business going and stuff like that, but I'm not really concerned about blowing up and being at the forefront or being everyone's favorite brand. That's not my concern. It's really about just reaching out to different people and supporting the movement that I had, just really owning your truth. And it's been beautiful in itself. A side note, I dabble, like I tell you, I dabble in everything. I used to dance.
But she, for those who are listening, another reason I love Danielle, she is one of those who
I ain't
do it
gonna ask you.
herself. She ain't gonna ask you to do pretty much. Literally, if she asks you to do something, it's literally it must have been rocket science that she just don't have the time to learn, because if she had the time, she would have learned the rocket science too. So all in all, the beauty of Danielle is that she literally has her hand in
I
everything that
do
she
graphic
does. But go ahead,
design.
not to cut you off.
I cut the vinyl, I press it, I do my tags myself, I build my website myself. Even down to my productions, the only thing that my photographer does is film it. I do the directing, I do the styling, I sponsor everything, and it all came out of pocket. Like, I started my brand with like $10,000 of my own money. And I know it don't really, it'd be like $10,000, but when you really think about like the nitty-gritty, like when it comes to like getting your LLC, the trademark, like everything, like all the details, it goes really
That 10
fast,
grand goes quick.
So
Real fast.
I'm proud of myself. I'm the first person, I'm probably the only in my family that has pursued a venture as this. And it's very beautiful to see, like, the growth over time. The only thing that kind of triggers me is that I've handmade over 300 products in the past year. My year anniversary is actually coming up in June. It's on Juneteenth. And I don't see as much people, like, like when you receive the packaging, they will share it or promote it on social media. So it's kind of like a good thing and a bad thing. For me, it's like, they kind of silently supporting me, but nonetheless, it's support. So it's just something that, kind of it causes questions, like raises questions in my mind.
As a human being, because you try to figure out,
Yeah,
like,
you know.
okay, is it because it's me? Because it's where is it my face? And that's hard. It's tough because you always this is it's always about fighting yourself. It's always about trying to get out your own head, and that's what one of the hardest battles. You know, even with the mental health stuff, is like being getting outside your own head or
Is
being
hard.
trapped in your own head is like the hardest thing. I said on like a podcast before. A man could be trapped under a rock and he'll break his own arm to get from under the rock, right? And he'll, you know, my arm is broke, but I'm free. But like, dog, ain't that easy? You can't really break anything when you're trapped in your own mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's why you have people who sometimes, commit suicide and stuff like that because they felt like, oh, what's going on right now is so bad. I can't escape it, and it might as well I escape it this way. So it's very tough, but you know me, I gonna just encourage you, like, don't see no face, just you doing
Yeah, I just
what
keep
you
it,
doing what you
you know,
believe.
so I'm
Yeah.
despite the
Yeah, keep it raw.
COVID-19, the pandemic, you know, everything that's on, I'm still gonna try to push to execute
Yep.
my summer anniversary collection on Juneteenth. So you guys stay tuned for that. It's called, by the way, just to, you know, give you first dibs, it's called Culture Shock. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, Culture Shock. Culture Shock. You heard it here first on the FYI podcast, guys.
Yeah, the
You know, we like those exclusives. We appreciate that. So look out for the Culture Shock collection coming from Raw. Hopefully real soon. So Raw is and everything that you do makes you the entrepreneur, makes you
position.
the one of those. Yeah, exactly. And I like that because I tell people all the time, look, the Renaissance man has come back. Like when we were growing up, it was kind of said, hey man, jack of all trades, master of none. I do truly believe now because of the internet, I think it's mostly because of the internet. People are allowed to have an online business, have a 9-to-5. Work on this other thing over here, and it's become accepted. So, for you to be a Jill of all
It's beautiful.
trades is
Only thing I
a
don't
beautiful
them
thing.
fancy lace fronting them girl to do. That's
Yeah.
it. That's it. I don't. I got
You got your
things.
lace
I am
front game
messing
up.
with it.
That's fair. Hey, I had to pay for some things too. I would never touch my own head. I had to tell my girlfriend all the time, look, she would try to cut my hair in COVID. I said, look, let me tell you something. Women have they have beautiful bodies, they have beautiful faces, they have multiple different things that they can look at. Me, all I have is my
Right. That's
half
the
decent face.
least
You're not gonna mess that up. Period. That's the least. Leave that alone, brother. I will go raw and uncut with the
Yeah.
beard and everything till I get a proper haircut. Because I am not ruining that. And don't tell me to shave myself. Don't tell me
Not
to
doing
cut my own hair. I am
it.
not doing that, brother. Yeah, not doing it. Let's talk, go back. Let's talk about the daily things that you do to keep in a positive headspace. To those who are going through some of the things that you're going through and they're feeling connected to your story, give us some examples of how on a daily basis you stay in a positive and a
The
beautiful
first thing that I
headspace as
would
much as
say
you
is
can.
music is medicine. Right now, I have not been in an exclusive relationship for 5 years. I have not, you know, I don't have kids. I live by myself. You know, it's just me out here. I don't have any like immediate family and I don't have much friends. So I would definitely say that music has saved me in a lot of ways. It can alter my mood and I just feel like it has made a very positive impact on, you know, me trying to wallow in my depression or depressive states at time, you know. So I would definitely say listen to a lot of music. Listen to a lot of music. Don't if you're in a bad, you know, a sad type of mood, of course you don't listen to love music and all that. Music
It
to
says that would
uplift
trigger you and make
yourself.
you feel even
I
worse.
a lot. I write a lot. And I feel like writing is one of my favorite outlets because it's raw and it's uncut, especially because it's personable between me, myself, and I. So I would highly encourage, you know, for someone to invest in a journal and write down your thoughts, especially the things that you want to manifest in your life. Like, you know, manifestation is real. Write down action plans. I try to dabble in, like, you know, different hobbies and stuff like that. So I watch a lot of YouTube. I get a lot of inspiration from there. And I just try to be, like, in tune with myself. I make myself laugh. Like, you know, a lot of people may say, you know, it's crazy to talk to yourself. Like, no, I make myself, you know, I feel like.
Me too. Me too. I talk to myself more now probably than I ever have in life.
With your own company, you don't like your own company, then how can you really enjoy anybody else's, you know? I have to be comfortable in my skin. And I just find that when I do these things on a day-to-day basis, and oh yeah, something else I also dabble in, I have a planner. So, you know, for those of you that are busybodies, I find that planning, like, you know, I get my stickers and my markers and my Sharpie pens and stuff, and I plan out the whole month. Like, that's something that's very therapeutic for me. I burn a lot of sage, burn a lot of candles. You know, I watch some sermons online since I can't go to church right now. It's, you know, those are just like my day-to-day activities or weekly activities that I try to indulge in just to keep my peace of mind, you know?
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And that's the thing is, like, I try and, well, what I've realized is that it's a daily process. And I think the one day that you say, I ain't going to take my mental health seriously, or I ain't going to pay no attention to it, that's the day you won't get got. And I think I started to really realize that, like, you have to do the daily work. Like, you can't really leave, just like a relationship, right? You know, if you're married for 20 years, I'm pretty sure that if you take, you know, a couple of days off a week just to not tend to your significant other or not think about them or nothing, like, that ain't gonna last that long, right? So it's like you actively have to work on things that you want to become better at. Just like we actively work on our bodies and work out, or you actively, you know, whatever, go for a walk, do stuff like that. Like, you actively have to really work on your mental health is just as important.
I like that you mentioned, like, actively working in terms of, like, your thinking. I think, like, a lot of people think, like, you just wake up and have a positive mindset, or you're an optimistic thinker, and it doesn't work like that, you know. For a long period of time, I had a lot of self-doubt about myself. You know, I wasn't really too sure of myself. It's crazy, like, you know, on the outside looking in, a lot of people held me to high regards, and I think I'm this amazing person, and they think I'm this amazing person, but for me personally, I felt like I wasn't doing enough, you know? So I had to actively practice positive thinking, you know? Like, I put down my positive quotes on my sticky note, or something might pop in my head, I might write that down, or even having an affirmation list, you know? I had to look myself in the mirror and tell myself I'm beautiful every day, you know? So, like, I want a lot of people to understand that. They'd be like, oh, how about a gout on my head? How do I stop overthinking? Or, you know, I feel depressed and stuff. Like, you have to practice that. Like, that's something that's just going to come to you, especially if you've been surrounded by individuals or even in an environment that is toxic and detrimental to your mental health. It's not something that's going to come easy for you, you know? So you have to offer yourself patience and grace. Yeah. Like, my word of the year, like, I pick a word every year that's, like, my theme. And this grace. You have to offer yourself grace. You have to be willing to know that, you know, you've messed up in the past. Other people have messed up. But you have to offer them grace, like how God offered you grace, you know? So that's just something I wanted to put out there.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Beautiful. And back to what you just said, affirmations, speaking what, you know, speaking the power of the tongue, man, period. The power of the tongue is a real thing. It's a tangible thing. It's not just this ideology that's in the Bible. Like, no, you have all the power in your tongue. You have to make sure you speak well of yourself. And grace, that's a beautiful way, I think, for us to end this, because you have to be able to forgive yourself. You have to be able to forgive others, just for your own peace of mind. And forgiving doesn't mean you crawl back to them. Forgiving doesn't mean that you go back to that toxic situation. But it does mean that you move yourself personally forward from that. No matter how long it takes. It might take a year. It might take 10 years. But make sure that you don't hold on to things, because that in itself, walking with baggage, is a way to really be detrimental to your own mental health. Talk to the people. Tell them where they can find you, Danielle. Tell them where they can get the clothes.
Well, of course, you guys can find me on Facebook and Instagram, Raw Society. That's RAWSOCIETEE, like t-shirts. Of course, you can find my different products online, www.rawsociety.com. There's actually, I've had a blowout sale for a couple of months now, just trying to get rid of the inventory from the last collection. So you guys can hop on there and get 50% off of everything. Kind of want to get like the new collection to be like the face of the website. So you guys can hop on there and go ahead and shop.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Sounds good. Danielle, thank you so much for coming on the FYI podcast. It was a pleasure. Your story is definitely one of those stories that I wanted to get out there. So thank you for being so brave and coming on here. And hopefully somebody heard something.
Thank you so much for having me. And you stay blessed and safe and keep doing what you're doing, because we need more people like you in the world. All right.
I appreciate that, man. You do the same, man. Until next time.
Yo, man, thanks for tuning into my podcast. Please don't forget to review, rate, and share. That would help me out a lot, and it helps get the platform bigger and better. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's @FlyYoungIntellectual, @FlyYoungIntellectual. Hit me on Twitter, @MisterMister_FYI. Connect with me, man. 2020, we're doing bigger and better things. If you really like the platform, tell somebody about it, man. Until next time, peace.